My name is Paul. I've met some of you, but it's amazing how many new faces I continue to meet every Sunday. I'm so glad you found us. I'm glad you're here this morning. We're going to share a bit and talk a bit about the church and a little bit about what God's doing. And, you know, we've been in this book, the book of Acts. It's probably one of my favorite books of the Bible. It's the book that talks about what happened after the resurrection of Jesus. You know, we often hear in the world, we hear the stories of, you know, Easter and Good Friday, and some of us think it's about an Easter bunny, but, you know, we've heard about Jesus, but what happened after Jesus was raised from the dead, and what happened after he ascended into heaven? And the book of Acts is full of incredible stories of the early church and the church starting. I think the book of Acts is kind of like an action movie, so all my action movie lovers out there, the book of Acts, it's like an action movie. So we're actually going to take a moment and we're going to peer into a scene in the book of Acts. And I think God has some truth for us today to just give us a great download and encouragement of what he's doing and what he wants to continue to do. You know, it's good to look back. It's good to look back and make sure that, hey, we're not missing something. You know, when you're baking something in the kitchen, those of you all made your wives and your moms, you made them all breakfast this morning, right? You know, when you're making something, you should read the recipe. Well, I heard this fantastic story. So a man up north, actually, in Prince George, he was making some food. He decided, hey, I want to make some baked beans. And he's going through the recipe, and obviously he doesn't do this often, and he can't find an ingredient. He's looking for baking soda, and he goes, what is that? Where is that? So of course, like any good man does, he calls his wife and says, hey, honey, I'm trying to make baked beans, but where's the baking soda? And she says to him, she's like, well, honey, it's kind of in this cupboard and top shelf behind this. But she says, but I'm really confused. You said you're making baked beans. And he says, yeah, it's in the recipe. She says, well, that's where the baking soda is, but you don't need baking soda for baked beans. And he's like, well, it's in the recipe. Well, turns out actually he'd flipped the page and he was baking cookies. Those would be some interesting baked beans. But what the story tells us is that it's actually really good to look at the recipe. It's really good to go back and make sure that we're not getting off course, that we're not getting off track. So for us, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go back. We're going to look at the recipe and we're going to pick up an Acts. And the first thing we're going to start with is we're going to actually talk a little bit about the apostolic. And some of you are going, well, what on earth is that? Well, stay with me. So in Acts, we see that the church starts as Jesus leaves, the God starts moving, the Holy Spirit comes and people are hearing about Jesus. They're coming to faith and the church is growing rapidly. And then you see this point in Acts 13, 2, where the believers feel with the prompting of the Holy Spirit that, hey, maybe we should set aside some people to help steward this thing and help come alongside the church and help it get established. So in Acts 13, verse 2, it says that Paul and Barnabas, these two guys, are set aside as apostles. They're commissioned and highlighted by the Holy Spirit. People come around them, pray for them, and then they're released to go and see this church get established. And these guys are radical. These guys love Jesus and they love the church. We're going to pick up in verse 14. And before I start reading, what you need to know is that these guys are in a city, just like Nanaimo. And they were telling people about Jesus. Well, some of the people didn't like that, so they stoned them. That means they picked up rocks and they threw them at them. So of course, these disciples, these two apostles, they stopped clearly, right? And they ran away. No, that's not what they did. No, they said, hey, isn't this fun? Let's do it again. So they got up the next day and they went to another city. And that's Acts 14. It says this, they preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they turned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. They strengthened the disciples. They encouraged them to remain true to their faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders, that's pastors and overseers, for them in each church. And with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. So Paul and Barnabas were burning with a passion for Jesus. They just kept going from city to city and advancing this church. And you know, the things we see when we read this passage in Acts is that they didn't just come and tell everybody what to do. How many of you know that that's terrible leadership? these guys actually came and they showed them what to do. They demonstrated. You see that they're evangelizing, meaning that they're telling people about Jesus. It says that they preached to a crowd and they won the crowd over. See, like an action movie. It was a battle going on. They won the crowd over. And then you see that they were discipling people. They were encouraging them to endure hardship, to go after it, knowing that this gospel was significant and that God wanted to do something. You see that the apostles were starting churches. They were going after the importance of seeing churches in every city and in every region because God wanted to do something through his people. You see them appointing elders. It says that they were appointed in each church, meaning that he was putting leadership and governance structure in place, that the church was intended to have that. Leadership's a good thing. Even if you've experienced bad leadership, it doesn't mean that leadership is bad. It just means somebody didn't do a great job. God's intention is still for leadership. So I would say this, that the Christian church today has become what it is because of people like Paul and Barnabas throughout all of history that were set aside as apostles to come alongside the church and to help fan it into flame. So the apostolic is important. We need apostolic input. And for us as a church, I would say that we acknowledge that at Oceanside that apostolic is relevant for today. We are actually part of a network of churches called New Covenant Ministries International. That's NCMI if you want the acronym. Everybody loves acronyms these days. But, you know, we're not the only group that functions like this, but we're one of many around the world. And really, our desire is just to see the church established in every city, in every town, and in every region. And that's what we saw in the Bible, and that's what we want to see. You know, on that apostolic team, people that serve in that capacity, Mike and Debbie Graves, who started Oceanside Church, they serve on that team. Andy and Camilla serve on that team. And my wife, Katie, and I also serve on that team, meaning that we get invitations to go and speak into other church communities. And how many of you just a few weeks ago were blessed by Matt and Sheetal, who came here from Chicago? Just a few of you. All right, there's a few of you. Good. Yeah, so they came and they ministered. We received what is an apostolic gift in our church community. And they came and they blessed us. So that's what we believe is intended and God wants to work through. Apostolic's important to the church. You know, the word teaches us that apostolic is intended to be one of the core foundational building blocks for the church. And we need the apostolic voice in church today. And Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, it teaches us that the apostolic gifting is one of the fivefold ministry gifts. The others, right? It's apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. But these are people that are experienced, that have been recognized, and they're released to go into regions to bless and see the church encouraged. There is no such thing as a self-appointed apostle. Apostles were recognized by the people and set apart from the Holy Spirit, kind of highlighting them and appointing them in place. So apostles were mature, and God used them as a foundation in the early church. In Ephesians 2:19, it talks about this. And why do we need them today? Because the mission God has his church on, us on, hasn't changed. Ephesians 2:19 says this, it says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." That's us, we're the household. "We're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit." The reason why we need the apostolic and the prophetic is because it keeps us, the church, focused on Jesus and what Jesus is about. We need to be as a people about Jesus and what he is about. That is what he has for us. So the apostolic for us is the gift that he builds on. Are you with me so far? All right. So I want to encourage us don't just skip past these moments in time when we say, hey, we've got somebody coming in as an apostolic voice. Set those times aside. Make sure you're able to come here. We've got people coming to Penticton with us. We're in the same way, we have that whole team and people from churches all over Western Canada gathering together to hear what God wants to say to his church. It's going to be a significant time. So where do we start? Where do we go from here? So we see that the church is significant. God wants to do something through the church, and that the church is built on this foundation of the apostles. And you know, what were they about? And where do we go as a church from here? Where do we start? And I want to say this morning that we start by actually just focusing on Jesus. Pretty simple. It's a good Sunday school answer to every problem, right? Jesus. Teacher asks a question, you answer Jesus, you probably got it right. But it's actually where we're going to start. This is what the apostles were about. They were about Jesus. They didn't come with their own agendas. They just wanted to see the name of Jesus proclaimed in every city and in every region. And the way he was doing that was through the church. So here's an interesting passage. Proverbs 29:18 says this. Why should we start with Jesus? Well, it says this. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. You guys stumble all over yourself sometimes? If we can't see Jesus, we stumble all over ourselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. If we cannot see him, we will not see what he's doing. And this is teaching us that we will stumble. So if you're tired of stumbling in life, if you're tired of just going through the motions, you know, doing good and only going so far and then maybe hitting a wall, can I encourage you this morning to fix your eyes on Jesus? This is a message that the apostles heralded into these regions. Fix your eyes on Jesus. A.W. Tozer said this. He says, we are called to an everlasting preoccupation with God's Son. An everlasting preoccupation with God's Son. So what that means is that we are going to continue to talk about Jesus. You know, a while ago, I remember hearing a story about somebody that left the church because the church was talking too much about Jesus. You know, you're actually doing it right. You know, if you're offended because we're talking about Jesus, I'm sorry. We're not going to stop talking about Jesus because he's the only one that has a plan and a future and a hope for us. There is no other hope outside of Jesus. It's him. So we want to keep our attention fixed and focused on him. And that's never going to change. And look at what he says. When our eyes are on him, then we get to see what he's doing. And God is doing something. We get to see what Jesus is about. We get to see what he's passionate about. The disciples figured this out. They were having a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus was asking them, saying, who do people say that I am? And the disciples respond, well, some people say this, and some people say this. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And listen to this response. It's Matthew 16:15, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Jesus answered him, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. When you see me, Jesus says, now that you see who I am, let me tell you who you are. He says, you are Peter. Man, if you're here today and you're wrestling with who are you, what is your identity, what is your life about, and you're wrestling with that because the world has told you one thing and your parents have told you another and your feelings and emotions are over here and they're all mixed up, telling you all kinds of other things, can I tell you today that if you fix your eyes on Jesus, if you see him, he will show you who you are. If you want to know your identity, you best go back to the one that created and designed you. Fix our eyes on Jesus. And then he says, now that you know who you are, right? He says, you're Peter. Now that you know who you are, I've told you who you are. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. And he says, I will build my church. Not on Peter, but on Peter's revelation of Jesus being the Son of God. On the revelation of Jesus, he says, I will build my church. You see, it wasn't about Peter. And it's actually not about you. Unless you're a mom, okay, today it's about you, moms. Today it's about you. But you know, it's not about us. It's about what Jesus wants to do. And you see, he didn't just spend forever on talking about Peter and puffing Peter up. He really quickly went to, and I will build my church. I want to do something. When your eyes are on me, let me show you what I will want to do. So when we look at Jesus, he reveals two things. He reveals the mission, and he reveals the method. So for us as a church, these are important things. What's the mission? He reveals a mission. What's the method? Well, he reveals it. So the mission for us that he has us on is to know him and to make him known. This is our mission. This is what he's called us to. If we want to know him, we've got to spend time looking in his face. You know, there's an old song that Christians used to sing, and it says, look full into his wonderful face. And then it says that the things of the world will grow strangely dim. You know, the things of the world are incredibly bright. But when we pause and we stop and we actually look at Jesus, he wants to do something. And it might not look like something initially. You know, in church, maybe you come in here and you think that the church is about good music. Maybe it's about a good message if Andy's preaching. Maybe it's about these things. You know, maybe it's about meeting friends and meeting some people, and that's what you think it is. Maybe you think it's about, you know, positive feelings and such. But, you know, we can actually miss what God is doing. I was thinking about this. Have you ever seen one of those video clips where an artist is painting a picture like with charcoal or something, and they're painting it upside down, and they're sitting in front of a panel of judges? You know the videos I'm talking about? So the artist is busy and he's painting this thing that looks incredibly abstract, and the panelists have to be patient, hey? They have to wait. They have no idea what he's doing, and he's being rated on it, and they have little buzzers. And the panelists, one by one, they just can't, it doesn't make sense, they can't see it, and they all kind of quit, and they all hit the buzzer on the artist. They don't know the artist, they have no idea. And then all of a sudden, the artist kind of pushes through and just finishes knowing that they've already been disqualified and kicked out because everybody buzzed them out. And then the artist turns the picture over, and wow, everybody's mind is blown. You remember that part? If they had only known the artist was doing something. And I feel in so many ways, it's the same with Jesus. If we only knew what Jesus was doing with his church, we would be patient. If we only knew what he could do, we would keep our eyes on him and we would wait. We would know that this incredible God is at work and he's building something. He's doing something because he is the greatest artist of all time. He's the greatest artist of all time. And it might not look like something in your life, and maybe you're on a journey of discovering God, but can I encourage you to keep your eyes on him? Church, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. He's doing something in this church. I'm gonna get to mission and method in a minute, but God is doing something in this church community. He's drawing people to himself. He's healing people. We've had multiple testimonies of God radically just healing people. The word says that we can pray for healing. We can believe in healing. We have a God that created us. Surely he can fix us. That's what we believe. So we're nothing special. We just believe what the word says and we pray and God's been healing people. Amen? I mean, that's incredible. This is what God does. He's doing things. He's breaking strongholds in people's lives and he's drawing people back to faith. His desire, Jesus' intention is that his kingdom would come to earth. You know, there's still power in the name of Jesus. There's still power in the name of Jesus. There's power to change our life. There's power to save us from our mess. There's power to heal us and make us whole and restore us. Whether that's physical, whether that's emotional, whether that's spiritual healing. God has healing for his people. So what's this mission? Well, the mission is to tell others about this, right? The mission is really simple. It's to tell others, to share the good news. You know, we can't even talk about method and explore more about the church until we actually understand the mission. We understand that Jesus was about his message being told in every city, in every town, and in every place. The word says that the church is called to reach our neighbors and our nations, that we would share this good news with everybody. In Mark 16, 15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. That's Mark 16, 15. It wasn't a suggestion. This was a mandate from God for us. Not a suggestion. It's God's intention that we would take this good thing that God has done in our lives and share it with others. This is what the two apostles did. They were so passionate about their revelation of Jesus that they just went everywhere sharing this message. Maybe that's even why you're here today. Maybe someone has been brave enough to invite you to just come to this church service with all these interesting people. And you know, I just want to say that that person cares enough because they know that there is a mission that God has called us to share hope. This is the hope. There is no other hope that's better than this. It's Jesus. And for us, I just want to say that God's never going to force himself on you. He draws us and he invites us. And he's drawing. God is drawing people to himself because he loves us. And his desire and his intent is that none should perish. His desire is that we would all come to know Jesus. And maybe that's a new reality for you. And let me explain it this way, if none of that makes sense. You see, without Jesus, we are broken people. Without Jesus, we're actually lost. We're separated from our Creator God. And you might go, well, I don't know. What do you mean, Paul? Well, maybe I could explain it this way. In life, the Bible says that we face hardships, we face difficulties, right? I'm sure many of you can attest to that. And some of them, you know what, are probably our own doing. We also, the three-letter word is sin. We make mistakes. We actually have a tendency to do things that we shouldn't do. And you know what I'm talking about because the Bible teaches us that that's actually written on our heart. The Bible says that the law of what's right and wrong is written on our heart. And that thing separates us from a holy God. But God's intention was for us not to be separated. His intention for us was to come near to him. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. This is the good news, that there is a free gift. So for us as a church, our central message remains. And that is that Jesus saves us. He saves the lost. And he doesn't just save us from our mess. It says here that when we come to him and we ask for forgiveness, we get forgiveness. Have you ever asked for forgiveness from someone and they didn't give it to you? Man, that is a hard feeling, isn't it? Did you know that with God, that he's already waiting in anticipation for us? That actually forgiveness just comes as we turn to him. He's immediately ready and right there. And we say, God, I'm sorry. Man, I have made mistakes in life. I have done some things I shouldn't have done. Won't you forgive me? I need you as Lord and Savior. Man, God is so quick. He is so quick to come and restore us back to relationship. And it doesn't end there. It says that through our faith in him that we have access to eternal life. You know, sometimes we think that our life and our existence is just about the little blip between our birth date and our end date, but it's not. We're eternal beings. Our souls were designed and created to live on. God wants us to spend eternity with him in heaven. That's the invitation, friends. This is good news. He's inviting every one of us. But following Jesus is a choice. Choosing Jesus is a choice. But when we choose him, we get to participate in this incredible mission that God has for us. We get to participate in this incredible mission. His priorities become our priorities, and his priority is that none should perish without spending eternity in heaven with him. That none should perish. You know what's amazing is the Bible says that when we attend to what he reveals, right? When we look at Jesus, when we see him and we attend to what he reveals, the Bible teaches us that we will be most blessed. That actually God is blessing for us as we attend to what he's doing. It's incredible. You know, if you have good news, wouldn't you want to share it with somebody? Man, if Costco was giving out a lifetime supply of coffee, how many people would you tell? A few, right? Only after you got yours though, right? All right. But like we have a message of Jesus that has come. We don't have to earn any of this, that we can have salvation simply by faith in him, by believing in Jesus. He can restore us, make us whole, and bring us into eternity. How much better is that good news? Of course the mission is to share it. Of course his heart is for others. What's the other piece of this? Can I preach this today? Are you guys okay? All right, okay. So what's the other thing? Well, he reveals the method. How is he gonna do it? Surprise, the method is through the church. You and I. His method is through us. The church is still his plan. If there's a title for the message today, that's it. The church is still his plan. My prayer is that today that we would go away with a better understanding of what God's doing and what he's called each one of us to. Matthew 16:18, what did Jesus say? He said, on this rock, on this revelation of Jesus, the revelation that I've been sharing, he says, I will build my church. The Bible teaches us that the primary way that the mission of God is carried out is through the church. Not through an organization, not through a business, not through a specialized ministry, but actually through a local church. This is his method. This is his blueprint. It's his recipe. It's his way. Paul and Barnabas went and they established churches in these regions. They appointed elders to oversee them. This was the way. You know, today I believe that actually many mission-based organizations were birthed from a place, were birthed out of a place of the church not doing what they were called to do. I believe that. And you know, amazing that somebody's doing it, but church, we've got to get back to doing this. We've got to get back to the mission that God's called us to because our city needs Jesus. Our city needs Jesus. This is the God-ordained strategy, was to have a church community in every region, and in every city, and in every town, and then for every church to be going on mission in that area and in that region. This is the model we see in Scripture. Sure, God can work through other means and other ways, but you know, when we really dig into the Word, we just want to get back to the recipe. If we want to have the book of Acts-like experiences, the action movies like we're reading, then we should probably go back and do it the way that God intended for us to do it, hey? We need more churches. Maybe some of you are being called. Maybe there's church planters in this room, and God is calling you to a region, and God's stirring something in your heart. We need more churches. We need churches in every single region. You know, we had an eldership couple about 5 years ago move to Edmonton to do this very thing. There was a new area where there's a lot of development and people were moving from all over the world into Edmonton. And they just felt the call and the draw, Russ and Glenn Eels, to go and start a church. It's called Explore Life Church. They started from meeting in their home. If you want to go to Edmonton and fan those guys into flame and go and encourage them, I just want to spur you on, go and do it. Church planting is in our DNA. We need more churches. Why? Why does God work through the church? Why does he do it this way? I don't know. Ask him. Ask him. It worked. You know, I think many of us would probably rather choose a model where, you know, we select some really exceptional people, kind of like a SEAL team, right? You know, the Christians that have everything together, the really beautiful ones that are, you know, walking in all the spiritual gifts that never sin. You know, the super Christians, you ever meet one of those? They're usually pretty irritating. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't use that group of people. What's his method? He uses the church, us, a collection of individuals, but a collection that includes every single one. His plan is that everyone would be involved in this. And the word says that he places us together for purpose. He builds us, as we were reading in Ephesians 2, into this holy temple. He puts us together. He fits us together. Some of us don't like being fit together by, you know, next to others, right? But this is God's way. He chose a way that includes everybody. And you know, maybe in your experience, you've been hurt by the church. Maybe you've been hurt by leaders and had some experiences that weren't great. But you know, his plan is still through the church. There's a fantastic passage in Jeremiah 23, and I won't be able to get into the depths of it, but you see some of these, you see some shepherds that are getting addressed, and they did some bad things. And the Bible is explaining to us that God deals with those shepherds, and then what does he do? He finds new shepherds, and he brings them to new shepherds. God is so committed to his church, he doesn't go and find a different way. He just finds leaders that are after his own heart. The church is a collection of people that are imperfect. I heard somebody complain about the church and say that they don't go to the church because the church is full of hypocrites. They're full of people that say one thing and kind of do another. I thought, huh, that's kind of interesting. Imagine treating the gym like that. Well, I don't go to the gym because it's full of, you know, plus size people that aren't really an example of fitness. Imagine that was, and you're like, I don't go to the gym because of that. No, you see those people in the gym, you're like, yeah, good job, well done, go for it. That's the church. We're made up of broken people. We are imperfect, but God is doing something, and we come to get healed and restored into his image. So yeah, you know what? We aren't perfect, but you know what? The closer we walk with Jesus, the more we keep our eye on him, the more we will become like Jesus. That's his plan for us. The more we keep our eyes on him, the more excited we get about the mission. And we just want to represent Jesus well, so we deal with the stuff. God's plan is still through the church. Collectively, we make up that church. The word is ecclesia. The church is the ecclesia. Listen to this. It's the gathering of the called out people of God to carry out his mission. This is the church. The gathering of the called out people of God. He gathers us like this. He gathers us in homes. He gathers us in coffee shops. He gathers his people together to go on mission, not to do this alone. You know, there are no lone rangers in the kingdom. God doesn't say that it's good enough for you just to know Jesus and do it all on your own. No, the word says that he places us in a church body, in a church family. There's so many incredible words to describe the church, the family of God, the temple, the flock, a holy nation. You know, the church is the apple of God's eye. That's why we see the church even referenced as the bride of Christ. God loves his church. It's his plan A. And you know, the word tells us, and we've heard over the last couple Sundays, that God is calling us out. He's calling the church out. He's calling us out from our brokenness. He's calling us out from our imperfections. He's calling us out from the sin that tangles us up and holds us back. Yes, even Christians wrestle with sin, but he's calling us out from beyond those things. He's calling us out from behind the strongholds. He's calling us out from behind our insecurities. He's calling us out from our comforts. He's calling every single one of us out. If you're here today, God is singling you out, and he's calling you out. What do I mean? I mean he's drawing you to himself first and foremost, that your eyes would be so fixed on him that you would fall in love with him and what he's doing. And you would say, yeah, here am I, Lord. I want to go on this mission. You designed me for this. I want to share this good news. He's calling us out. I want to ask if the worship team would come up. I promise I won't keep us here much longer. God wants to move his church from complacency to expectancy. Because God is doing something. Even now, even in the last month or so, have you felt Those of you that are Oceansiders that have been around for the last few weeks, have you felt the atmosphere shift in church? Have you felt it shift? God is doing something. He's on a move. We said, hey, let's pray and fast for our city. And we had, I don't know, 80 to 100 people. It was standing room only over at the Junction. I have been in this church for over 20 years praying and just hungry, like in a hungry way, pursuing a move of God that he would pour out. And I'm watching it happen right now. God is doing something. People are coming to faith. They're choosing Jesus. People are getting healed and restored. People are having dreams. We're hearing these stories. Why are we reminding us and keep talking about it? Because God's doing something. He wants to move us out of complacency and bring us to a place of expectancy. God moves when we're expectant. We say, God, we want to be used by you. What do you want to do? You know, the early church was radical. It had a radical edge. It wasn't just about comforts and convenience. It was about taking this message of hope to a people that desperately needed him. How many of you know this city needs Jesus? How many of you have people around you that know that actually they have no other hope? Maybe they're distracted with doing well in their careers and, you know, the busyness of life. Man, there's a lot of stuff that keeps our attention. But every single one of us has a death date and an invitation to eternity. And some of us have punched our ticket and that's where we're going. But man, there's so many people that don't know they're invited. There's so many people that don't know the goodness of Jesus. All they've ever heard or experienced is religion. All they've ever seen is what the TV tells them. But God says we can show them Jesus. He says we can take this mission and make it real. God is always adding to his church. Are you ready for God to add to you? Are you ready to open your home? Are you ready to be stretched? Some of you are sitting on your hands right now. Are you ready to be called out? I don't know what God will do with you, but I know you can trust him. I know if he's inviting you and drawing you, you can trust him. Maybe I could invite you to stand. He's calling us out. The Bible tells us that he chose us. In Ephesians 3:10, it says that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be revealed. The church is supposed to be a beautiful and a powerful expression of Jesus to our cities. He's invited you to be a beautiful and powerful expression of Jesus. I love his commitment. God's commitment to us. He says, I will build my church. You know, as a leader, that's a huge weight off my shoulders. God promises. He says, I will build my church. But do you know what our commitment is to him? Our commitment to him is that we will be the church. That we will be what he designed us to be, that we will walk in the fullness of what he has. If we won't do it, who will? Just as the worship team's playing behind us, I wanted to make space for a few things for us this morning. One of them is this: if you're hearing about Jesus, I shared some of the gospel, the good news. I can't just talk about the church and not talk about our message. If that's new for you, if you've never said, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you as Lord and Savior. Jesus, I want that invitation. We want to make space this morning for you to choose Jesus. If that's you, I want to invite you to come up front. I don't want to make it weird. I just want you to know that there's people that want to stand with you and celebrate with you and pray with you and introduce you to Jesus. So if that's you, why don't you come forward? Because we want to pray with you. We want to introduce you to Jesus. I'm going to make space for some other people to come forward so you won't be alone. Just make sure you tell people what you're coming forward for. But I feel like there's others. I feel like God is calling people out, that you're hearing this message, you're considering the church, and you're going, Lord, I want to move from complacency to expectancy. My view of the church, Lord, it's changing. I want to go on mission for you. I want to know you. I want to be about your purposes. If that's you right where you are between you and the Lord, do business with him. Let him know. If you're here this morning and you feel like you need a little bit more and God's drawing you out, right? That means he's reaching around your situation and circumstance. He's grabbed your hand and he says, come out, my son. Come out, my daughter. If you want someone to pray with you, if you feel like that's important for you this morning, someone needs to stand with you and you would like that, I'd invite you to also come forward. Maybe some of our other leaders could come up front just so you can see that there's people that are ready and want to pray with you. So why don't some of those leaders, some of our elders and deacons, some of our connect group leaders, why don't you guys just come hang around the front? And we're just going to worship the Lord for a moment. I'm going to pray. We're going to worship the Lord. Father, I thank you for the reminder. God, I thank you for your word that's living and active. And as we look back in the book of Acts, God, we want to see more of what you did back then, here and now. Thank you for what you're already doing in people's lives. Thank you, Lord, for each one represented here. Thank you chose a method that involves each one, that each one matters, each one's significant, each one has a call and a purpose. And Lord, this morning I pray you reveal yourself, reveal what you want to do to them. Won't you come and speak, Lord, as we worship you, as we acknowledge you this morning. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord, and as we worship, if that's you and you want to respond, please come up front.